have to let you know that Harvey is not here this week, but we still always appreciate all the work that he does for us. The amazing thing is the reason he's not here is because he's actually participating in exactly the mitzvah that we will be discussing today. So without any further ado, here is Rabbi Kier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meiroff. You stole my opening lines. Today's share is sponsored by Zecher Nishmas Sarah Etel Bas Leibish Mendel Halevi. This Mrs. Leiblich, that's the woman actually that Mr. Lichtman Harvey is involved in securing her kfura in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a little bit eerie. I don't know, the power of Torah, the power of the share. Harvey's had quite a track record this season. First share I gave after Sukkot was about the mitzvah of eating meat versus a vegetarian, and he told me he had a vegetarian over that Shabbos. A couple weeks later, I gave a share in Tefillah Sederach, and he had a very exciting plane ride or landings. And I decided the topic of this share, I believe, Monday night. And Tuesday morning, he informed me that he's going to Eretz Yisrael to be involved in the kfura. So, quite eerie, quite interesting. And today's... you have to ask Harvey, not me. But today's topic, kvura and Eretz Yisrael, understanding the Indian, the idea of to be buried in Israel, I'd like to discuss 5 points within it. I'll discuss the Mila, what's the Inyan to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, where in Eretz Yisrael does this Mila exist? Is it all of Israel? Is it different parts? Thirdly, should one, the halachic issues involved in moving a mace from who is Nifter in Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Additionally, the concept sometimes, even after a person already is buried in Chutz La'aretz, the idea of moving that grave to Eretz Yisrael. And the final general topic I'll talk about also is financial considerations, familiar considerations in terms of doing this. And I accumulated case files of 5 different cases, practical cases that Post can talk about that are involved that can hopefully shed some light on these principles and ideals, how they're applied. Now, the first source that I found to talk about the Mila of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, I came across, after I already made the Mar Makomos, I came across it on Shabbos. But a fascinating thing, so this would not be found on your sheets, but if you want to take note, it's a Ramban in this week's Parsha. Perech of Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav. Pasuk Yotes. The Torah, we know, elaborates much on the Avram bearing Sarah. And the Torah goes through the whole story of how he purchased the kever. As somebody said, even back then it was quite expensive. And Avram Avinu went and purchased Maris HaMachpelah. In fact, the Ramban and other Rishonim discuss where exactly were Avram and Sarah living when Sarah passed away. Were they living in Hebron? Some Shita say that, others say not. And they just went to Hebron. They were living in a different part of Eretz Yisrael. They went to Hebron to bury her. And the Ramban makes a general comment about this whole story of Avram and purchasing Maris HaMachpelah. V'nichtava zos ha-parsha, the Torah wrote this whole story, Lohodia chazdei Hashem Avraham. The Torah wants to show you the tremendous chazdei Hashem, special divine intervention that Hashem had of Avram Avinu. Shayin nasi el kim ba'aretz asher bar lagor sham v'ayachid v'chol ha'am hayikaren lo adoni. Avram Avinu, at the end of his life, had tremendous respect from the entire world. Remember, this is the same person originally referred to as Avram Ivri, because everybody in the world was against him. His own father threw him into fiery furnaces of Ur Kasdim. But fast forward to the end of Avram Avinu's life, and the common person on the street referred to him as Nesi Elokim, a prince of God. Adoni, they referred to him with such honor and respect, they bowed to him. And the Ramban saying, look at this. Look at the tremendous chesed Hashem that Hashem promised Avram Avinu, as the Ramban continues. V'agad lo shemecha v'heya bracha. I'll make you great. Everyone will bless their children by your name. And in Avram Avinu's own lifetime, he saw that come true. So obviously an amazing, amazing gift, special chesed Hashem, the Ramban is telling us, that Avram Avinu received. The next line in the Ramban writes, V'ishto mesa v'nikbara b'nachlas Hashem. His wife passed away, and he buried her b'nachlas Hashem. Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is considered nachlas Hashem, the ultimate possession of Hashem. And it sounds like from the Ramban, this is included in this, writing this parsha, to show chasdei Hashem. So trouble me. The first part I get, the Avram Avinu went from being someone that everybody made fun of and didn't respect to someone that he respected in his lifetime. That's a big deal. That shows tremendous kavod Hashem, kiddush Hashem in the world, and it was brought about through Avram Avinu, something that obviously he would feel very proud of. The episode of his wife dying suddenly. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he was able to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. But it's like that something he mentioned literally in the same sentence as a fulfillment of the Agad L'Shemecha. It sounds from this Ramban that the concept of being buried in Nachlas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael is such a big thing. If you want to count this area, the tremendous Chesed Hashem, this is something you count in that. The fact that he was able to bury her in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact they were living there, but he had the schus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that's a big deal. So that, I think, is one, I haven't found anyone else quote this, but it's a Farisha Ramban, this week's Parsha, that shows the tremendous inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe it's only because it was the Moras and Machpelah that it's a great chesed.
He doesn't write that, right? Very good point. He doesn't write, it's Dafka because Moras and Machpelah, Dafka Chevron. Other Mepharshim talk about that in general as a Milo, which I'll get to later in the share. But this Ramban, it's Mashma, it's a general thing in Eretz Yisrael. The entire Eretz Yisrael called Nachlas Hashem. So that's quite amazing. Now, the most common source that people quote talk about the Milo being buried in Eretz Yisrael is this Gemara in Ksubas, the first thing on the middle of your sheets. And there's three parts of the Gemara. The first part of the Gemara says, Amar b'lazer, kol adar b'Eretz Yisrael, shari b'lo avon. In general, a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael has a special schos of living without sin. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, continuing on two lines later. Amr of Anon, kol hakover be'eretz Yisrael, kilo kover tachas ha-mizbeach. Anyone who's buried in Israel, it's as if he's buried underneath the Mizbeach, and they quote Psukim over there, V'chipar, Ad Moso Amo, Pasuk says in Azinu. And the Mepharshim understand that this is an inyan of Kapara. The Mizbeach is a Kapara, so when you're buried in Israel, it's as if you're buried under the Mizbeach. And the Gemara goes on to tell a story. It says, Ula havi ragel da havi solik l'Eretz Yisrael. Ula seems was busy and many times would leave Eretz Yisrael. Nach nafshei b'chutz l'Eretz. He ended up passing away in chutz l'Eretz. Also, Amar le'elab Lazar, Amar anat Ula, Admas, Adama Tmea Thomas, died on foreign land. Amar lo aronu ba. He said, why do you talk degradingly about him, that he died in foreign land, tummy land. He was buried, though, in Israel. Not the same someone who had this special kapara while he was alive, living in Israel, versus someone who just came there, la'achar misa. So the Gemara here is giving a qualification that there's a bigger inyan to live in Israel, and then, after a person lives in Israel, to be buried in Israel. But someone who comes la'achar misa, the Gemara is already throwing shade on it. Not so simple. In fact, la'halacha, you see in the top of the page, the Rambam brings this idea as a chief reason why one should be buried in the Eretz Yisrael. This is the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Amr Chachamim, Kol Shochim Eretz Yisrael, and Vanos Mecholin. Anyone who lives in Israel to some degree, obviously it's not a free pass, but your sins are forgiven. Quotes a pasuk, Yeholch Ba'dal Amos. And skipping to the middle, it says, V'chol HaKover Ba Nischaper Lo. Anyone who's buried there is forgiven. Ki'ilu HaMakom Shayabo Mizbeach Kapara. It's as if the place where he's buried in has a Mizbeach, which is Mechaper him, and he quotes this pasuk, V'chiper Ad Maso Amo. Then he quotes in the last four lines you have over there, the Rambam brings La Halacha, that line from the Gemara in Ksubas, that's not comparable someone who lived there and was buried there versus someone who was just brought there. And then the Rambam writes, nevertheless, there were great Chachamim who would bring their Mesim there. Yosef HaTzadik. It's very interesting how the Rambam words this. In fact, I tracked down the Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yol. They bring the Shalsa Tshuvas, Shevet Alevi brought him. He's medayik from this language of the Rambam. Sounds like a beautiful diak. That the Rambam is saying, look, what the Gemara said is a valid point. If you're only to come there later, that's like a bidyevet. That's the Lashon Va'af al Pikein. There was, even though there's something to it, if you don't, not living there, just to come there later, you are missing out. But nevertheless, this is something that Gedolei Chachamim did, including Yaakov and Yosef. So Rav Teitelbaum actually even uses this as a reason, say it's the biggest chiv, the biggest inyan in the world. Not so posh. If you didn't live there just to go and be buried there, not so simple. So this perhaps is a second reason why one would be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And on this reading specifically, the Kapara aspect, the Gemara is qualifying. It's not so simple just to come there. Yes?
Isn't there a concept of when someone dies, that's a level of Kapara?
Yes, correct.
Before we even get to this?
Correct, correct.
So it's just levels. So.
Correct. You know, well, in fact, the next Gemara we're going to see even more. If you skip... Excellent. That's the next Gemara. If you look, I have three passages here from the Gemara in Ksubas. Let's skip to the third passage. The Gemara says over there, the Gemara talks about this concept of Gilgal Tzadikim, that even great Tzadikim, with the concept of Tchias Amesim is going to come, but there's an element that they would have to roll from wherever they're buried to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, in the second line over there, Gilgal L'Tzadikim Tzarhu. There's a pain involved in this process. Obviously, this is something we don't know. The Gemara talks about later about Mechilos, and there's different opinions about that. The Gemara really has two girsas about it. And the Gemara brings up as a source for this both Yaakov and Yosef. If you look, the third line, Yodeo ha Yaakov Avinu shet tzadik gamor hayu. Yaakov Avinu was considered a complete tzadik. And being the fact he was a complete tzadik, he didn't need a kapara. Right? As you brought it before, Misa itself is a kapara for people. But if you're a tzadik, you don't even need that. He was on such a madrega, he was a tzaddik gomer, so he doesn't need a kapara. So according to the second reason, the reason we just mentioned, there'd be no need specifically to be buried in Israel. Why is Yaakov putting pressure, a burden, a load on his children? What's the point? So this is where the, there's two different gears. That they're afraid of the turmoil, this pain involved in the traveling. If Yaakov would stay buried in Mitzrayim, the pain of the traveling to Israel, even for Yaakov with the Tzaddik Gomer, would still experience. This reason is a pretty strong reason. It's not brought by the Rambam, but this is something the Mefarshim bring down, the Poskim do bring down, such an idea that there's pain involved in Tchias HaMesim from going to one place to the next. And thus, even for Yaakov Avinu, even for Yosef, great Tzaddikim, Gemara calls him Tzaddikim Gemurim, but there is still an advantage to be buried already directly in Israel. So this is a reason, and this, again, the qualification of Inodoma Kotlos Mechaim Kotlos Lachmisa is not applicable. That was only on the previous one. So this is one which is definitely an advantage, no question about it. And fourthly, I found another reason. Again, this is something I did not find so many posts can bring, but it's in the same Gemara. Some people might have missed it. The Gemara in between talks about Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmer Tavayu, Ksherim Shebabavol Eretz Yisrael Kotlon. Rabbi Rav Yosef made a vague statement. The good people in Bavel, Eretz Yisrael saves them. So the Gemara first asked, in what sense? Ksherim Shebashar Eretz Bavel Kotlos Lamai. Elim Liyuchsin, is this in terms of elevating a person's yichus status for marriage and other things? Amamarko Artus Isol Eretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Bavel. The Gemara in Kedusha talks about the fact that Bavel was considered to have the purest lineage in Israel. So this can't be about that. The Gemara says El Leinin Kvura, the Ksherim Shebabavel, the Ksherim Shebabavel Eretz Yisrael called Lossam. Even the Ksherim in Bavel Eretz Yisrael would save them. So Rashi says, Elin and Kfura Shabava Malikin are insanely covered by Eretz Yisrael. They were big people, good people in Bavel. They would move their Aronos to Eretz Yisrael. The Cholshar, now the Gemara, here the Gemara Rashi doesn't explain the reason why. Assumingly working with the reasons that we mentioned before is part of it. But he says more. The Cholshar Artos are a Cholkus May Eretz Yisrael, the Krov in the Bavel, the other lands of Chutz Arch, which are further from the land of Israel, they would bring their dead to Bavel, Kovrim b'Bavel. Why would they bury in Bavel? Sheyesham schus haTorah. Because Bavel was a tremendous capital of Torah learning, and they went and buried them over there. So from here you see a fourth idea. There's an inyan to be buried in a place which is a makom Torah, which has a schus of Torah. So obviously that's something which Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael has. No question about it. Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous place, Malkum Torah, and that alone is another schus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But really, this cheshbin would be a cheshbin for other places also. Obviously I spoke to a posik about this topic, and he said, yeah, it's mistaver, we're not talking, you have to be buried outside of Beis Medrash for this to work, right? It's mashma from Rashi, the entire Bavel worked, even though the main yeshivas was Surya and Pumbedisa. But yeah, it's a schus. We know that in multiple chazals, that the schus haTorah spreads out to the whole environment of where the yeshiva, where the learning is taking place. So definitely in the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, Lakewood area, would definitely have a schus of the schus haTorah, just like the Rashi says. And seemingly, Baruch Hashem, there are many places now, perhaps here even in South Florida, we can consider ourselves a tremendous Makom Torah, and there's a schus itself to be buried in a Makom Torah. It's pretty interesting. Yes?
Is
there are many small towns where they have, you know, like one shul, and they'll have the cemeteries behind the shul.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the practicality of different issues in a moment. But in terms of the concept, what's the maila of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? I believe there's 4 points we came across. Number one, from the Ramban in Parshas Chayesara, the maila of being buried in Nachlas Hashem, one of the greatest things that happened to Avram Avinu. Number two, the idea of the kapara of being in Eretz Yisrael. And on that qualification, it's not the same kapara to somebody who just comes there, la'achar misa. Thirdly, the idea to save a person from the tsar by tchiyas emesim of moving there. And fourthly, the general is chas haTorah, which you would see from there. One may not be able to be buried in Israel, but the idea to be buried in a makom Torah is a consideration.
There's a pasuk about it.
Yes.
Vayar reishis lo, yishon chalkas mechalkek safun.
Excellent. See, it's funny. Your Quran is also bracha, correct? This shir I've got to mention before, but if you look on the older shirim, going back quite a few years, Rav Sharfman did this topic too. I listened to the whole shir and made sure something is overlapped, but there's, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's lots of areas to talk in. And it's interesting, Rav Sharfman gave the shir on Parshas Vayechi, because there you have the whole discussion of Yaakov and Yosef to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that Gemara there we quoted, that's where he launched it from. But really, Chai Sarah, you could talk about too, perhaps even Mezosa Bracha. Now, I'd like to go through. Okay, so now we see there's an inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Where exactly in Eretz Yisrael has this mila? So, Chor Pashab Shad, it's anywhere. Haraya. Where are the Avos buried? Are they buried in Yerushalayim? No. They're buried in Hebron. And seemingly, any part of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, and it's all considered Nachlas Hashem. So that's wonderful. Anywhere in Israel would work. And that is an important thing, because anyone knows the market of what's been going on in Israel, and especially in the past 25 years, it's been unbelievable. Probably, if someone purchased a kever 25 years ago, the difference in price, especially if you got in, say, Har Menuchos 25 years ago to now, can easily be tenfold or 20-fold.
Out Gilgal, so that makes an opportunity, because to the extent that the whole concept is that's through Har Zayson, so Mela would make a difference if you're not so out. The other three reasons, it's not an issue.
Excellent. So if you look in the back, I brought the Shevet HaLevi, and that's Rav Wozner, and he talks about this, and he has multiple reasons that Yerushalayim in general has a maila over other places in Eretz Yisrael. Some of them are involving the Etzem Kedusha of Yerushalayim itself. You know, you brought about the Gilgal. Yeah, if we're talking about rolling towards Tchiyas HaMesim, so true, even within Eretz Yisrael, it seems like there'll be some form of that. Even though there's a Gemara later on in Gittin talks about that he lost a level, like the whole Eretz Yisrael will be like a Yerushalayim. Very vague Gemara talks about the Eretz Yisrael expanding like a deer.
Yaakov did the same thing about that.
Right.
The whole reason, according to one shot, the whole reason why it was Gilgal, so then why didn't he just...
Right, very good point. Very good point.
A lot of rabbis are very responsive.
So I'll get to those cities in a moment. So there are innate milas to Yerushalayim. It's also talked about, if the idea is to be the kapara is to be buried under the Mizbeach, well, the real main Mizbeach was right there in Har Moriah in Yerushalayim. So the closer you get to that, the greater even the kapara they bring down over here. Hold on. There also are chazals, and this was alluded to before, that Tchiyas HaMesim will actually begin from Har HaZeisim. So that alone is a reason. And really in the history, I believe, of Kvura within Eretz Yisrael in modern times, Har Zeisim always was the first place the people would go. And going as far back, I believe the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is buried over there. And through the ages, so many Gedolim were buried in Har Zeisim. What got tricky about Har Zeisim was twofold. You know, from 47 on, it was not accessible. And that's really what built up Har Menuchos in Eretz Yisrael. So anyone who was Nifter in Eretz Yisrael from 47 to 67 were buried in Har Menuchos or in other spots. Now also, there is a security issue in Har Zeisim. Not so easy to get to. So there are those who, even if they would be able to purchase a kever, which is very hard to do in Har Zeisim, but people are nervous about security. So Har Menuchos has been, I was just there this past summer, it was unbelievable how big, how vast a cemetery Har Menuchos is. And there also, it's quite expensive and quite hard to get karka today, even in Har Menuchos. And you're saying how much?
I don't think you can get, it's very hard to get space.
Correct.
And I think they double up now.
I'll talk about that in a moment. So Har Zeisim is not easy. Har Menuchos is not easy. I think now the third most chashuva place people are looking now in Eretz Yisrael is Sanhedra, Beis HaKvaros. Rabbi Ari Levine was buried there from years earlier, but originally there weren't so many people that went there. But then later, Rabbi Avadya Yosef now is buried there, Rabbi Tzion Abashol, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum. And they're also not so easy now to find kvarim, and that's why a lot of people go out to Beit Shemesh and other spots. It's easier to find. We come to this issue that wouldn't be considered any Shita Yerushalayim, but it still has the ma'ila of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, there might be dargas within it. It might be there's a certain, it's better, obviously, Har Zeisim, Har Menuchos, the Sanhedrin Beis HaKvaros. But there still is a ma'ila for any spot in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no doubt that that would work too. Now, it was brought up before, what about some other places, like in Tzfas and Tveria? So I found, it's quite interesting, that the Sefer Gesher HaChaim, which is a tremendous Sefer on these Inyanim, brings that, going back generations, if someone was Nifter in Chevron, they wouldn't let them be buried in Yerushalayim. And it's not so simple. If you're buried in one spot in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, they say about Chevron, they said about Tzfas and Tveria, would not be so simple. Those themselves are already considered a chash of a city in Eretz Yisrael, and there I'll get to moments later, other reasons for that. And it wouldn't be so simple with Eretz Yisrael even to move that from one spot to the next. But in general, yeah, there are a lot of chash of a places in Eretz Yisrael to bury. It doesn't have to be specifically Yerushalayim. The next concept. What about traveling for kfura? It's understood in halacha, the most basic place a person should be buried is where the person was nifter. To move the aron to a further place is not simple. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Simen Shitten Samach Gimel. I will start with halacha beis because that's the point over here. A malichin meis meir sheyesh bo kuveres leir acheres. You do not move a body from a place that has a Jewish cemetery to another city. El imkein mechutz aretz aretz. Shulchan Aruch himself said, except for chutz aretz aretz Yisrael. Obviously, because of the schus of Eretz Yisrael, like we talked about before. So that's an exception. It's interesting. What's the other exception the Ramah brings? Or you bring him to a familiar plot. Now it's interesting, that's what the post can point out. A family plot has to mean there already are family members who are buried there. Just because a family owns a plot doesn't necessarily apply. This gets tricky, so how do you start it? But the idea the Shulchan Aruch is saying is one shouldn't move a mace in general, but the exception is Eretz Yisrael. What's the reason why we can't move a mace? So if you look in the Shach on the left side of the page, Emolichin, Mishim Kavod HaMesim HaKovrim Ba'Oso Le'ir. Because in honor of the people who are already buried in that city where the person died, he lives in New York. You're going to bring him from New York to Eretz Yisrael. Zot the Shach. Oh, now we'll get to that in a moment. You're going to bring him from New York, some city to New York. Look, there's Kavod HaMesim. And if you're going to go and bring him over there, Shach uses a very strong lashon. Shemevaza osam shonuch etzlam ezeh. You're embarrassing the people who are buried there. That's sort of, we're not good enough for you. It's very interesting. One would think the idea of burying a person is an individual. Look, he was nifter, he wants to be buried in this place. Let him have, quote unquote, his last dying wish. But no. A cheshbon in halacha, the Shach is saying, is you have to be very careful towards the kavod of people buried. People are buried in Florida. What are you going and burying in New York? In a certain sense, it's a disgrace. It's a bizarion to those people. It's a cheshbon, according to the Shach. Comes Rabbi Kiva Eger, as well as the Piskei Tshuvas, and they write on the bottom of the page, Bishop Kavod Mesim, he quotes a Tshuvas Zichron Yosef, Dacha Zahata, says this is not the reason why you can't move a mace. Dim Kain, Amabit Siva Shomumlo. Halacha is, if the person tells you to do it, then you would. Eloha Tam Yishim Tsar Bizayin HaMeis L'Tautin L'Erchok V'ul Bein Asayim Yasriach. It's a practical consideration. It's not an easy thing to move a body. Things could go wrong with that. So therefore, the normal halacha is stay put. If there's a big reason, Kivrei Avos, move to Eretz Yisrael, then it's okay. It's interesting. These two ideas, Machlokas Achronim, Shach, and Rabbi Kiva Eger and Piskei Tshuvas, are both brought down in the later poskim. And we'll see in a little bit later, how do we weigh these considerations? In fact, the first consideration that the Shach says, that's one of the reasons I mentioned before, that poskim say, if a person was nifter, let's say in Chevron, or Tzfas, or Tveria, you shouldn't move the mace to Yerushalayim, because it's a bizoyon to the people buried there. We all know there are tremendous, great gedolim. You go back to Chevron, you're talking about the avos, who are buried in these places. Oh, it's not good for me, I want to be buried in Yerushalayim. So you have to be worried about being mevaza, kavod hamesim. Correct, but in Tzfas you could potentially get into the Beis Kavaros over there, and Tveria could be Makomos. Also, see, it's interesting, right? I don't know if anyone here is in the Kavarim business, but you go back to that fourth source we brought before about being buried in Bavel, for example. We said it doesn't have to be. Obviously, there's a Milo. If you have the kever next to Rebbe Vadya, you have the kever next to boy. Could you charge an arm and a leg? Yikes. Not pun intended. But not mean that one. But Lamaisa, this idea is really, of course, there's a mile to be buried right next to them, but it seems anywhere within the environment, you still have milas. Kavod Torah is not just next to the yeshiva, and being buried in anywhere in Chevron, I assume they have another base of kavaros there in Chevron, right? L'chora has some of the schus of the schus avos buried there, other things. Schusim go beyond, the schus of Ravaja doesn't just stand the kever next to it. It goes beyond that too. Now, another issue that comes up.
The Shach of the Kibbeh, we were just talking about the Dafka from New York within another place in the United States, not
Correct.
Eretz Yisrael.
Correct.
Or any other place in the world outside of Eretz
Well,
Yisrael.
Because the Shulchan Aruch itself, right, makes that
says,
qualification.
Says it's
Correct.
Right. So
Correct.
They're only talking about if you're going to be burying, reinterring outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, we're not to reinterring yet. That's really the next
well,
point.
This was, no, that's what they're
No,
they're
talking about L'chila Bering. So for someone who lives in Hebron to move to Yerushalayim, the Svar of the Shach would be applicable. He'd be Mevaza, the person who lived in Hebron, they could bury him right now in Hebron. Should they move him to Yerushalayim? So the Shach's idea, it's not good enough for you to be buried in Hebron?
Not as the other reasons, the Gabi being closer, Aus Kapara being the Gabi closer,
okay.
Aus Yogo,
so that's a very good point. And we're going to see. You have this many times in halacha. There are multiple factors. How do you weigh them? So I'm not here to postulate it myself, but it doesn't seem it's so simple. Despite the fact you have these personal milos of why you want that, but there's also cheshbon. How could you be mevaza? You know, great people. Beautiful, Musar idea. Another issue that comes up of burying in Eretz Yisrael really stems what happens in this situation, and this there are many issues of this, of someone who was buried outside of Eretz Yisrael to move to Eretz Yisrael. This issue, also in honor of the share this week, there's a new story going around that the state of Israel was looking to bring Rav Nachman Breslov's kever from Uman to Israel. Boy, would that be lucrative. A Yiddish cup, they'll figure out a way how to do it. But this is, practically, this is a major shayla. Person was nifter in outside of Eretz Yisrael, to bring the bones after hundreds of years. Not so simple. So the halacha is, that's the beginning of Shin Samach Gimel. Eim efanu ameis v'atzamos. We do not move a body, bones, lomi kever, goes through different scenarios, from an honorable kever to another honorable kever, different levels. But it does say you could do it. Once again, here the Mechaber himself brings the idea of kivrei avos. He says, "Mutar sha'ariv la'adam she'yenach itzal avosav." People want to be buried, there's minyanim to be buried by family members. So for that, if there's some situation where a person ends up being buried in one place and the rest of the family is in another place, there is an idea that one could move for that. V'chein k'dei l'kover b'Eretz Yisrael mutter. So to be buried in Israel, it would also be mutter to do such a thing. And the Shach happens there to bring the reason of kapara. Now, this halacha is very complicated. When somebody moves bones, the reason why the halacha is l'chachila, is chiyav, you're not allowed to do this, is even in a scenario where you would be allowed for kivrei avos, or in Eretz Yisrael, they're complicated dinim of avelos, which would then be noeg. Avelos is not just when the person is nifter. The halachas of avelos would apply where you'd move a grave. And part of the reason is the person himself who was buried there, when you rebury a person, has a new gzar din. And he has to go through a din again, and therefore the descendants would have to be knowing. Pashas is only one day, but there are many questions. Exactly when does it start, when does it end? Very tricky, very complicated parsha. But if one would move a kever, it's not a simple thing for the mace, not a simple thing for the family. But you do see from here the same qualifications. It would be allowed, A, for kivrei avos, or B, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And this is something which through the ages, there are situations, I'll talk about cases later, where people did move kfarim from outside of Israel to Israel. There are many people that tremendously yearned to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and that was a lifetime dream for them, and unfortunately they never made it. And there is an idea that you could take a kever and move it to Eretz Yisrael. It's even, I'll throw in one more line, this I didn't put on the sheets. Rabbi Sharfman spoke about this when he gave the share. There is a Piskei Tshuva which says one could do it even without the consent of the person in his lifetime. There is a Piskei Tshuva which goes as far as taking such a position. The mile of being Eretz Yisrael is so great, one can even do it. So now there's two levels. Where there's one degree to say, even if he just didn't say anything about it. But there is, the Piskei Tshuva seems to say, and this I saw the Shevet Alevi, Rav Blosner, also brought down, there is, even if he himself said not to, there is a tzad in halacha to go against one's wishes. But again, measuring many different factors, not so simple. And the final general area, which I'd like to get to, is financial considerations, familiar considerations. On this, the yeshiva unfortunately does not have the sefer, nor did I see it in any other shuls or kolim here in the neighborhood. Could be someone has it in their private collection. Or if Hinken, that's how. Tremendous posik in early America. Someone that everybody respected from Moshe and tremendous Talmud Chacham, founder of Ezra's Torah. So he has a sefer, Tshuvas Ivra. Some of his stuff they're reprinting nowadays, but not so easy to find. I'm sure it's on, you know, online. You could track it down. But I found the quote, an English quote, of Rav Henkin, what he said about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and he was strongly against it. And okay, you have to know who Rav Henkin was. I just read a description of how sparsely, maybe someone here even went to his house, sparsely decorated his house was. He sat, he didn't have chairs in his house. He sat in orange crates. You're talking about a person who was so super, uber dedicated to Ezra's Torah and Aniyim. He was mamish from a different world, literally. And Rav Henkin was very nervous for the financial strain of what it means to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You know, someone brought it before, Kol Shekein, when you're traveling, you know, from Miami to New York to Eretz Yisrael, travel expenses, burial expenses, right? We said the numbers of kfarim there are quite expensive. He says, furthermore, you want people to come to your kever. So you're making your family, you know, they want to observe a yahrzeit. So they have to, you know, even though Baruch Hashem, it's easier to travel in Israel today, but it's still a big expense. And Rav Henkin even quotes the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the takanas of Rabbi Gamaliel, that, you know, there was a point in the times of Amoraim already, they were making lavish funerals, lavish caskets, and Rabbi Gamaliel made a takana, no, for me, even though I'm the Gadol Hador, should have his way to be buried so simply. So Rav Henkin felt we should be doing the same thing, to just lavish, to spend so much money on such an expense. Not simple to do. I remember when I was researching one of our earlier shurim last year, I came across Rav Shlomo Zalman, says the same idea. It's a very hard thing. You can make a family, go to Eretz Yisrael. It's not cheap, not simple. And you, so that, both Rav Henkin and Shlomo Zalman, the Satmar Rebbe too, wrote about this. Not so simple to inflict such financial strain on family members. Additionally, another cheshbon, even if people do have the money and get inside it, but there's something to a person being buried near his family. This way it makes it easy for the family members whenever they want to go there. You don't have to book a ticket. You don't have to make a whole trip. And that alone, to have family members come by a kever, is a consideration. The people live there, come there. I heard this, and it's printed in the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky biography. The Rabbi Yaakov Davka wanted to be buried in New York because this way his family will be easily accessed to come. Somebody just mentioned to me on Shabbos, they heard a second reason why Rabbi Yaakov was nervous and didn't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It was because in general, and we'll see this also by the poskim, when you talk about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, there's a certain, automatically, it's a big trip. And there could be tremendous time delay from the time the person was nifter till they're buried in Eretz Yisrael. And till the burial, there's more din, and it's not an easy time for the neshama. So that itself is a consideration. Rabbi Yaakov felt. That you're going to push off burial, might take some time till it happens. No, do it over here in America. That's a cheshbon. So these factors, both financial and familiar, are things to consider despite the milas, everything. You have to weigh what works best, you know, for a family. And it's probably kedai. It's the same way, you know, all these things are a schus. When you buy a burial plot, it's a schus for arichas yamim. You know, these things, I'll show you in a moment, you have different shilas. You see the shila and you say to yourself, wow, it would have been so much easier had the family members talked about it while the person was alive. Now, obviously, it's tremendously not a awkward. It's not a conversation people want to have. But the same way, that, you know, a person makes a will, a person makes tzava. These are things which the more clarity a family has, the easier it will be to deal with such a thing.
Just practically?
Yes.
That's part of the family. I've heard people flip it nowadays because we're such a mobile society that they're afraid, if I get buried in New York, let's say, you find many families now, I don't have anybody there anymore. My kids now live, my grandchildren live in
interesting idea.
Chicago,
but Eretz Yisrael.
No, Eretz Yisrael.
That's a beautiful.
Somebody will always go once a year to Eretz Yisrael.
It's a beautiful one.
So
right?
That could be Ladari Doris.
Very interesting. You're right.
That's a
very interesting idea that no matter, you know, you think of the biggest of Jewish communities and they're so stable and so this. We're in Golos. And no matter how strong and how great a Jewish community, the roots, who knows how long it'll last. Yeah, safety is an Indian too. You know, that's what even brought down to move a kever. Safety, you're right, is a big Indian. In Europe, many of these kfarim, it's not so safe, it's not so simple. And that would be a reason to potentially move it. Now, I'd like to get through, hold on, sorry, second time. But I'd like to go through, I have five fascinating cases, that practical cases of these type of shilas. First ones, if you look in the back of your sheets, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a shila about Moses Montefiore. Moses Montefiore, the tremendous philanthropist, he himself did so much for the old yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he was buried in Europe, in England. And there was brought up from the community, maybe we should, to honor him, let's move his grave to Israel. Let's exhume it. And we saw in halacha, there's a reason you're allowed to move a kever. Bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe, it's an amazing tshuva to read. The first few lines of the tshuva, he talks about the fact, he's going to answer very short because he doesn't hear a tzad to the shayla. He wants to make his point very clear. Further on, he qualifies, who has the rights to make these decisions to move? There's only one answer, Rav Moshe says, the family. You're not the family. You have no right to just go and move it. And furthermore, Rav Moshe argues, you know about Moses Montefiore, he had the means to do whatever he wanted. He chose to be buried in England, in London. So who are you to go against what he did and just bring him to Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, Rav Moshe says, it's an open and shut case. You have no right to do such a thing. A family is the ones who make the decisions. You're not his family. He clearly is something he never did in his lifetime. Of course, there are milos to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. There might even be a piskei tshuva, which says you could do it even against his will. But Rav Moshe says, in such a scenario, you're not the kids. You can't do such a thing. Very interesting. A second shaila I found from Rav Moshe. These latter shailas are not printed in the Igros Moshe, but there's newer svarim that have come out. Masoros Moshe from the Tendler family produce them. And there, in Chelek Aleph, they have a Shiloh. Exactly the point I brought about before about Rabbi Yaakov. That let's say someone was Nifter on a Thursday night. If you would bring him to Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't happen until, you wouldn't leave till Motzei Shabbos, which practically means you wouldn't get to Eretz Yisrael till late Sunday afternoon, and you're practically burying like Sunday evening. So what do you do in such a scenario? So we saw already that Rabbi Yaakov was nervous about such a thing. But Rav Moshe said, 100%, you are allowed, it's the mile of the schus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, to push off a kfura, multiple days in order to do it. Beferish Moshe brought down the Mesoros Moshe Chelek Aleph. Secondly, a similar tshuva I found for Moshe. Moshe had a brother-in-law named Rabbi Small. He was a Rav, I believe, in Chicago. I know some of his family, his great-grandsons, a Musmach, just became a Musmach of Chavetz Chaim, I think. And a small family, yeah. Anyway, so when Rav Moshe's brother-in-law was small, was Nifter, he was Nifter very close to Yontif. And the Shiloh was, being the fact he was a Rav for many years in Chicago, they wanted to have, to bury him, they wanted to do a little vi in Chicago. But now, he himself never said to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, but they knew he would like such a thing. He never spoke it out clearly to the family, but they knew, yeah, he would want such a thing. So that's when the mindset was, okay, let's see if we could try to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. But if they were burying him in Eretz Yisrael, it's close to Yontif, so really there's two steps. Number one, they would have to leave right away, and they wouldn't be able to have any Levaya in Chicago. But number two, it's also obviously tricky. It's close to Yontif. We may not make it there on time. So Moshe was nervous about making it, and he said, no, you know, I hear the Inyan to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. If they would bury him right then and there in Chicago, they would do it. But look, yeah, I think it's okay to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Here the Inyan family want to do it. So Rav Moshe first said, yeah, you could push off and to let him get buried in Eretz Yisrael, which meant not doing anything till after Yontif. Now, furthermore, Rav Moshe said, being the fact that this person was a tremendous, was a Rav and had a Hashpa in the community in Chicago, he felt, I was covered on Mace, you know what you should do? Motzi Yontif, you should have a Levaya in Chicago. And then, I have to make sure, Cheshman, it could be, right, because that's the whole point of the Chiddush. Sounds like they, it was too close to Yontif, they ended up having first a Levaya in Chicago, and then going to Eretz Yisrael, because it's all part of Kavod HaMeis. And Moshe felt that's the right thing this person deserves. And therefore, the same way for Kavod HaMeis, we'll bring him to Eretz Yisrael, we'll also have the chance to have a Levaya in Chicago. That's where Moshe paskened. And it's interesting, it's brought down there, what about the idea Rav Moshe dealt with of maybe first burying him here in Chicago? We'll do the Levaya in Chicago, bury him in Chicago. And after 12 months, then we'll move him, like the halacha, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So to that, Rav Moshe said no. The financial consideration of burying a person twice, right? Talk about, you know, a waste of money. You know, Rav Moshe was quite nervous about that and thus said no. It would be better to just extend things, wait till after Yontif, take him to Chicago, take him to Eretz Yisrael and do it that way. They not simple. Another case. Quickly, I'll get to two more cases. I found the case, again, this is in the same Mesoros Moshe, Chelek Beis. A person bought a kever in America. But after multiple visits to Eretz Yisrael, he made comments to his family, you know, it'll be nice to be buried here. But he had karka ready in New York, in America. So Rav Moshe said in that case, no, you should bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Moshe wanted to learn, look, if we see, even after you were buried in Chutz La'aretz, you could bring him to Eretz Yisrael, Kavach Chomer, just because a person bought a plot, that doesn't mean anything. So, right, you could sell it, make money on that too. Right? So you see these factors, a factor, even if a person bought land, he mamash has a plot here, that doesn't mean it's a final resting place. These things can move, it's a fluid thing, and that's why it's important to have directives as clear as possible, as late as possible, for these type of situations. And finally, I'd like to bring a case which I personally know of. The Rosh Yeshiva of Henoch Leibowitz, his father was Nifter here in America and was buried in New York. Rav Henoch spent much time debating the Shaila about bringing his father, who was already buried in New York, to Eretz Yisrael. And he discussed the Shaila multiple times with Rav Yashav Zatzal. I'm pretty sure one of those times I was there in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not simple. I believe Reb David was someone who was machshev being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Talked about buying land in Eretz Yisrael years ago, different things. And the Reshiva had a plot in Eretz Yisrael, and they were seriously debating bringing Reb David's Aron to Eretz Yisrael. But Maisa, later in life, the Reshiva switched, and he decided no. Not only is he not going to bring his father's kever to Eretz Yisrael, but he switched and bought a kever here in New York. And his cheshbon was, even though this was something he highly debated to the degree, not just his own kever, which he already had, but bringing his father's kever there too, was he felt, well, what's going to be with the Talmidim? For the Talmidim to have a place to go. This is not even family, this is Talmidim. Reshiva unfortunately never had his own children, but he considered his Talmidim his children. And the idea for Talmidim, family, to go to a kever is a very chash of a thing. So even a person who understands the milos of Eretz Yisrael and understands the milos, they understand it's Nachos Hashem, they understand the Kapara, they understand the Mechilos, they understand the Kavod, the Schos HaTorah, there's so many inyanim to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And as we see in Halacha, things which, to move a mace, to move a kever, which are chomer and yanim, but for Eretz Yisrael, there's a green light. One's allowed to do it. But at the same time, like everyone, this is a decision everyone has to make with their families, what's best, and financial considerations are a factor, but the family having the easy ability to go to the kever, a kever should be a place that families, that people visit, maybe not just one time a year, but something that people connect with. It's an important thing. And thus, Be'ez Hashem, by learning these halachas, we should have the schus that we shouldn't have to come to them with Arichas Yomim. Correct.